And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today, another great edition of Secrets. This is volume 143. Can you imagine? Every month we do a Secrets volume, and we look at some of the news that the controlled mass media dare not report. Or if they do, of course, they give a politically correct scheme to you. But we tell you the underpinnings, the seamy underside of the news, and to shine a little light on it. You know, that's one of the things I love most about the Holy Bible. It says that Jesus is the truth. The truth. A lot of people have adjectives to describe Jesus Christ. And, you can use Lord, Savior, Majestic, Wonderful, Counselor. But I simply like the truth. He's the truth. He likes truth tellers. And that's why we do what we do here. We tell the truth. Of course, not everybody likes the truth. And most people try to shade it and run from it if they can. But that's why we have the darkness and the light. Now, we're going to talk about some things today that are great of interest. We're going to look at the Vatican. It's put out a list of new sins. Can you know, it would seem that most people today aren't worrying about the old sins, but I don't know why the Vatican would consider it necessary to put out a list of new modern sins. But I've been looking at it, and it's possible I could be guilty of these things. Maybe you are too. This is a time for self-confession. Are you guilty of one of these modern sins that the Pope of Rome has revealed or now against the church and its policies? Well, we'll find out about that. And then global warming. It continues to be in the news. President Bush says he now believes in it. And he wants America to spend billions of dollars on all kinds of programs to stop it. John McCain says, oh, it's real. So does Fox News Network. Republicans and Democrats alike seem to enjoy, you know, the spine-tingling fear of global warming. But there are a lot of hoaxes and fakes in this world, and, you know, it could just be that global warming is one of them, and we'll talk about that. Strangely, though, the Southern Baptist Convention says it believes in global warming, too, and it's ready to do something about it. Well, we've got some other good news for you here, some interesting news. Here's a gentleman who wrote me a letter. I'll tell you what he had to say, but he sure didn't like my position on Israel. Those of you who believe in the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear firearms, you may not like Bush's leader in that department, the acting director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. They just call it ATF. I'll tell you a little bit about him. He's a pal of Ted Kennedy. Isn't that interesting? Ted Kennedy agrees with this guy on gun control, but Bush has put him in charge of enforcing gun laws. Well, over in Great Britain, there's been a motion in the House of Commons, sort of the equivalent of our House of Representatives. And, they have to number, just like we number Senate bill such and such and House bill. Well, they numbered this bill too, and it turned out that it was House of Commons Bill number 666. That's quite an interesting bill, by the way. We'll reveal to you what is the House of Commons bill number 666 and what it would do. Hey, had a gentleman wrote me a letter and he said, Tex, it's time to get serious now. We need to take our guns and our weapons and go after these dirty old traitor congressmen and, you know, hang them from the lamppost. What do you think about that? That's what he asked me. What do I think about that? Well, I'll just tell you what I think about that today, okay? And we'll see if you agree with me. And we got a lot more. Did you know that there's now a lot of people were worried about taking a mark in their forehead or in their right hand, which would, of course, possibly be the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. But now they have an invisible tattoo ink. You can take a tattoo, and it would be invisible. Of course, they would run a electronic, you know, gun or beam over your skin, and they would be able to see it. So you could be tracked, you know, if you say, oh, I don't want a tattoo, I don't want to deface my body, they'd say, don't worry, we can give you the mark, and it would be invisible. Or the name or the number of the beast, and it'll be invisible, except, of course, to Big Brother government. With our tools, our equipment, we would be able to read it when no one else could. And Bill Clinton, he's not president anymore. His wife is running for president. But, you know, the Clinton administration is still quite a force to contend with in terms of the Illuminati elite. And now every year, Bill Clinton is having a meeting of the global elite. He sponsors it. It's called the Clinton Global Initiative. Now, I didn't get my invitation this year to it. Kami over at the our broadcast board, she's going to be helping us with the broadcast here. Kami Snyder, she's working with us now, doing a wonderful job, I understand. And Kami, we're so happy to have you at Power Prophecy. Ministry's working with us, but I don't know. Did you get your invitation to this global? I don't think they want you there. I'm sorry, Cam. You're a nice person. I mean, we love you here, but they don't want you there. Probably they would not like what you had to say. You or Jerry, who's working with you today. So we'll talk about some of the sponsors of that. It seems like it's the same old names that keep coming up. Got a picture from a gentleman is quite interesting. It was what was on a train. There were flatbed cars on this train, and it stopped for a while and he took pictures, but as it turned out, it was like mobile prison cells. Now, with these prefabricated prison cells, they can set up a prison within on a weekend, so they can just build concentration camps throughout the nation, almost at the drop of a hat. Sort of an interesting thing, isn't it? Well, are we going to attack Iran? Everything seems to be set up for it. And now, Admiral Fallon, who refused to go along with the crazies in the White House, refused to go along with the neocon Jews who wanted to bomb Iran with nuclear weapons and start World War III, perhaps Armageddon. Admiral Fallon, who was in charge of all of the troops in that area of the world for the United States, has been fired, forced to retire from the service. And his new replacement now is going to be General Petraeus. Some people call it General Betraeus. And General Petraeus, of course, is not only Jewish, but he's a Zionist extraordinaire. And not only that, but he doesn't mind at all lying and deceiving the American public on behalf of Bush and Cheney, Israel, and the neocon Jews, and promoting their Zionist agenda for a World War III between Christians and Muslims in the Middle East. And Fallon has been replaced. Fallon was the one that told Time magazine, "We, the military brass, are trying to keep the crazies from starting a war. He's the one that called them the crazies. May have been a little intemperate of him. But, you know, the guy's trying to stop a war, an unnecessary war, bloodshed, killing of people. Not only Iranians, but Americans. But he's been fired now, and Petraeus, who went to Congress and just lied his head off on behalf of the Bush administration, saying, oh, yes, the surge is working. Sure it is. Now he's in the driver's seat over there. He took Fallon's job, and I tell you, we may be in for it. We'll talk about that and a lot more. So let's get started here. I always have fun when we're talking about secrets because, as I said, I like to expose the devil and his works. I like to expose the liars and the hoaxers. It just gives me a great thrill. It's fun. Yeah, that's why I do what I do. I have fun. Every morning when I get up, I look in the mirror and I smile. A lot of people say, but Tex, you're into all these terrible things and you expose prophetic evils and everything. But wait. You don't understand. The Bible says that we as Christians have the victory. We have the victory. We know what the script is. We've got the Bible. Why should we worry? I don't lose any sleep over these things. I do worry about the victims. I worry especially about the innocent and particularly the children. But other than that, and that's a big thing, by the way, to worry about. But in terms of this world, I don't worry about it. I don't worry about global warming and all those things. Hey, the world is going to be right here, cold, hot, and in between, according to the season, until Jesus Christ returns again. And that's the way it's going to be. Well, this is sort of interesting. Clarence Page writes for the Chicago Tribune Media Services, and our local newspaper had a column by him, but actually was run across the country. Beware of hate crime hoaxes. Now, folks, dear friends, you know, here on Power of Prophecy, again and again, we've exposed these so-called hate crimes. Every time you pick up your newspaper and you read that neo-Nazis painted a swastika on a synagogue or went to a Jewish cemetery and painted, you know, Heil Hitler slogans on gravestones, well, believe it with a grain of salt. Watch out. You know, it's been my experience that there are very few neo-Nazi groups in America. The KKK is pretty well a dead issue. In fact, the KKK is run by the FBI. It is. It's run by the FBI and has always been. And I think these other pro-Jewish groups also provide money to the KKK and the Aryan Nations and all these other supremacist white groups. Why do they do it? Because they need boogeymen. If you got a boogeyman, then people get fearful. Oh, we've got to stop the KKK. and you know, Osama bin Laden is a boogeyman, and Saddam Hussein was a boogeyman, and al-Zawahiri is a boogeyman, and, you know, Ahmadinejad over in Iran, he's a boogeyman. You got to have a boogeyman to make people fearful and scare them so that Big Brother will have more power to stop the boogeyman. You've got to give up your constitutional rights and you've got to pay tens of billions of dollars more taxes and you've got to be frisked and searched and monitored and put on a no-fly list at the airport and all these kinds of things because the boogeyman might get you. Oh, boy. Well, Clarence Page says this. He said, a student at George Washington University recently complained that swastikas were scrawled on her dormitory door. Thanks to cameras hidden by university police, however, they found the suspect. Turned out that it was the student who filed the complaint. And the young woman who filed that complaint, who had scrawled the swastikas on her own door, was a Jewish woman. Now, friends, let me just stop here. Why would a Jewish young woman at a university paint or scrawl swastikas on her door and then cry and moan? And by the way, this particular young lady, I saw her on TV. Every news network had this poor gal and she was crying tears. They go, it's terrible. The Nazis are here on campus and they hate us Jews. And And she even claimed, by the way, she was a Holocaust survivor. That, you know, her grandmother was died in a Holocaust. None of it was true. Of course. Now, this is the time that we're in, dear friends. You know, a black group, all it has to do is hang a noose on a tree somewhere and claim that the whole town there is a white supremacist and everybody really, really gets all hot and bothered over it, when really it was the blacks that did it in the first place. This is going on across America. And, you know, we did an entire program on this, and I cited to you probably 30 to 50 incidents taking place like this. Over in Germany, a young lady actually carved with a knife a swastika in her forehead. And then she went crying to the police. She actually had the scar there in her forehead. And then she went to the police and complained that neo-Nazis, who hate Jews, had run her down on the street. And while they held her down, one of them took out a knife and cut or inscribed a swastika in her forehead. Sounded like one of the most horrible crimes imaginable. The only problem was, it wasn't true. She did it to herself. And she later admitted that she had done it. Why do they do it? Many of the Jewish organizations perpetrate these hate crimes because they want to keep money coming in. For example, here at the George Washington University, when this woman student claimed that swastikas were scrawled on her dormitory door, all the Jewish groups in America sent out mailers to the mailing list and said, we need money to fight discrimination. We need money to fight the hate criminals. And money pours in. And then they go to Congress. We need laws, hate crime laws, to stop this kind of thing. And, of course, who do they really want to persecute? The Christians. They blame it on Christians. It must be the Christians. All Christians hate Jews, don't they? At least that's the claim. Mr. Page goes on to talk about a number of cases, including 3 years ago at Northwestern University, a student said that she had been harassed by white students because she was Hispanic. But in fact, it wasn't true at all. She put the messages on her own dorm door, and she hadn't been harassed by white students at all. She even claimed she was a victim of a knife attack. But that turned out to be false also. In 2003, three black University of Mississippi freshmen were accused of writing racial graffiti on the doors of two other black students' rooms and on walls of three floors of the residence hall. Now, these three black students used paint and other materials to mark up the walls with obscenities and racial epithets. They even painted a tree with a noose and a hanging stick figure. Then all the blacks on campus had a big meeting and claimed that the whites were supremacists there at the university and that the blacks were being discriminated against. But there again, they had video cams in the dormitory and found out it was the blacks that did it. And friends, that's just what we've got today. Read about a hate crime? Watch out. I have found that about 99% of the time, it's a hoax. Now let's get to something that's not a hoax, and that's the Vatican and its new list of sins. Now, according to Reuters news agency, the Pope has decided thou shalt not pollute the earth. Mm-hmm. And thou shalt not get involved with genetic manipulation. Oh, yes. One of the sins the Vatican says is now a sin is environmental blight. Now, I don't really know what environmental blight is. Maybe, you know, if you have a house that needs painting or you don't mow your grass, would that be environmental blight? Or, you need a new roof on your home? No, I don't think so. But anyway, Archbishop Gianfranco Girotti, the Vatican's number two man, told the Vatican newspaper, the Roman Observer, or La Osservatore Romano, that one of the greatest dangers to the modern soul today is pollution. There are people out there who litter, he says. And there are people out there who aren't keeping streams and rivers clean and so forth. And they're polluting. And these are social sins. So the question, my dear friend, is for you. Are you polluting Mother Earth? If you are, the bishop says you should immediately go to confession at your nearest Catholic church and confess your sin to the Holy Father. I'm sorry, folks, but you know, it's almost too much, isn't it? Well, they were talking about global warming, but it seems like we had the coldest winter in decades. Well, forget the seems like. Actually, we did have the coldest winter in decades. And not only that, it was so cold, they say it undid 30 years of global warming, one season. The average temperature now for the last 100 years shows that the Earth has actually cooled a bit. And that led one of the top weather forecasters in the world, a physicist, recently to put out a paper saying, forget global warming, global cooling is ahead. Now, I predict, dear friends, that there will be a transition period. You know, they've already, here's what is happening. Let me explain this to you. First of all, they lied to us and created this hoax of global warming. Now, what they want to do, of course, is start taxing you. In fact, many congressmen, many environmentalists, many globalists, including the Council on Foreign Relations crowd, has proposed that the United Nations have a tax on carbon emissions. You know, and especially if you have a gas-guzzling car or whatever. In fact, every gallon of gasoline that you buy, they want, you know, 10 cents or 20 cents added on to the price of it. And the money will all go into a big kitty run by the United Nations to solve this global warming problem. Now, the problem is there's no global warming, and there's four major weather observation laboratories here on this planet. One of them is at NASA in the United States. Another one is in Australia, and I forget where the another one is, I think, is in Denmark. But they have all concluded that the Earth appears to be getting cooler. Now, that creates a little problem for all the global warming crazies. So they've changed the word now. They're not wary. They never talk anymore when they give their little scare talks. They never talk about global warming. It's climate change. Have you noticed that? The great fear now is climate change. Now, why did they go from global warming to climate change? Well, the reason is that there is no global warming, but climate change could mean anything. It could mean cooling or warming. Or something in between. It could mean volcanoes in the bottom of the ocean that might heat up the ocean for, you know, a season or two. Whatever is the case, it could mean sunspots that cause things to get a little warmer for a couple of seasons. Whatever the case is, the new fear is climate change. Now, I predict if we really are going into a period of global cooling. And by the way, the Earth has done these things for thousands of years. You know, it goes through a cooling phase and then a warming phase. I mean, anybody would tell you, there, at least the scientists say, but I'm beginning to doubt almost everything they say, but they claim that most of North America was covered with ice thousands of years ago. Well, it's not covered with ice anymore. But we could go into another ice age. And who knows, many continents could be covered up with ice. This could become the next fear by people. It's really strange about this. You know, I mentioned to you that many years ago, I think I was in my, I was about 30 years of age. So that was, at least a couple of months ago. And I read this article in Reader's Digest. It really shook me up before, you know, I knew all these kinds of lies out there. It said that the Sahara Desert was growing. in Africa and gobbling up so many hundreds of feet a year. The desert is growing and the drought is horrible and throughout Africa and people are going to die and they don't have water and they were saying that where used to be a nice home in the tropics, now suddenly the desert has crept up and just took it over. You know, like remember that movie, The Blob? You know, the blob just takes over a whole town, keeps growing, this gelatin type substance, you know? It's like, you know, the Jell-O monster went wild. Well, there it was, the desert. It's growing. They said, in fact, it could be that deserts across the world are growing, and maybe in Nevada. Oh, I'm just losing my breath even thinking about it. In Nevada and Arizona, the desert there, it's growing. It could go over into California and pretty soon could be in Los Angeles before you know it. Well, I was a little shook up reading all that stuff, just thinking about that, how the desert was growing. And you know, I didn't hear much about it, and I sort of forgot about it. I had other things to worry about. They're always going to give you something else to worry about, these fearmongers. But in any case, it was some years later that I read this little bitty article. I think it was in Time or Newsweek. It talked about how the desert had begun receding. And for the last 12 or 13 years, scientists said, unexpectedly, after growing for so many years, suddenly it's begun to recede. In fact, there's some environmentalists, they said, that are concerned that if it keeps up, there might not be a Sahara Desert in Africa. And think of all those little critters. The sand gnats. And all of the endangered species that could be threatened if the desert were to recede too far. Think about it. No more desert dunes. No more of these wonderful old movies of the desert, the Sahara. Boy. I mean, it could make a guy get scared again. First, the desert's growing. It's going to take over everything. The next thing you know, it's shrinking. And this is a little bit like global warming. Well, here's a little item for you. The Daily Express, I have to read most of my news, you know, from England and Germany and Italy and France, because the newspapers here in America don't report this stuff. But here it is in the Daily Express newspaper, February 19, 2008, in London. It says, global warming, it's the coolest winter in decades. Let me read to you directly. It says, new evidence has cast doubt on claims that the world's ice caps are melting. Satellite data now show that concerns over the levels of sea ice may have been premature. It was fear that the polar caps were vanishing because of the effects of global warming. But new figures from the respected U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration show that almost all the lost ice has come back. As a matter of fact, it says, some scientists now report that there might be more ice than there has been in places like Antarctica in the last 200 years. There's more ice there than there has been in the last 200 years. Very predictably now, we're into climate change. We're going into global cooling. And I do predict that in 5 or 6 years, give them time to transition. You see, they don't want to shake you up too much. But very slowly, these new reports will come out about global cooling. And before long, there will be all kinds of government regulation, new laws to be passed, new taxes to be raised to stop global cooling. Well, whichever way it goes, global warming or global cooling, the Southern Baptists are right in the thick of it. According to Associated Press religion writer Rachel Zoll, Southern Baptist leaders are taking the unusual step of urging a supreme fight against climate change. Southern Baptist leaders say their denomination has been too timid on this subject. And now they're going to do something about it. Praise God for the Southern Baptist. They're not going to be accused of that Vatican sin of pollution or global warming, are they? Oh, no. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more secrets right here on Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, I've recently finished an exhaustive study on the new Bible versions as they relate to Bible prophecy. I've been increasingly concerned because as I study the new Bible versions, and I'm talking, of course, about the contemporary English version of the Bible, the new international version of the Bible, the new American Standard, their names go on and on and on. Hundreds of new versions coming out. And I'll tell you, it makes me sick when I think of all the changes and the things they've taken out of God's Holy Bible. And one of the most important areas of all is the area of prophecy. Now, here's what I did. I got the reliable, trusty King James Bible out that I always use, and I compared the prophecies. Now, there are hundreds of prophecies in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I wanted to know what the new versions have done to these prophecies, and you'd be amazed. You know, Revelation 13 says that the number of the beast is 666, and it is the number of a man. But one of the newest versions of the Bible says the number 66 is man's number. It's the number of all of men. So there will not be one person then who is the Antichrist. It's just man's number. There's a big difference between man's number and a man's number. The Jehovah's Witnesses sect or cult actually put out a new Bible. And it says that in the beginning, and this is John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Ah. Now the King James says, and the Word was God. But this Jehovah's Witness Bible says, and the Word was a God. You see, this is because the Jehovah's Witness do not believe that Jesus Christ is truly God. And if you declare that He is God, they'll say, well, He is a God, but He's not the God. Maybe He's just one of many deities. In fact, they actually teach the Jehovah's Witness that Jesus is just a name given to the Archangel Michael, and that it was the Archangel Michael who visited earth, not Jesus, in terms of being an individual being. So you understand then, these new versions have butchered the Word of God. They have twisted the prophetic scriptures, and I'm here to warn you. You cannot understand Bible prophecy by using the NIV or the RSV or the ASV or one of the new versions. They've just changed it. They've changed everything. And I have found hundreds of changes that totally destroy the meaning of the Holy Bible. Now we're offering, and by the way, in coming weeks, I'm going to have some radio programs and I'm going to show you exactly which of these evil new versions of the Bible you should avoid. I'm going to make it sort of easy on you because, frankly, you need to avoid all of them, but I'm going to prove to you exactly why. Now, at the same time, we have a book that is just an amazing book written by Dr. Gail Riplinger. It's 690 marvelous pages in length. It's called New Age Bible Versions, and it exposes the NIV, the NASB, the NKJV, the NRSV, the NAS, the REB, the RSV, the CEV. I mean, pretty soon your tongue just goes back and forth with all these acronyms of false Bible versions. But Gail Riplinger is a precious friend of mine, a wonderful sister in Christ, a great scholar. She used to teach on the faculty of Kent State University, but now her full-time ministry is exposing the false Bibles. That's all she does. Of course, she's married. She's got a wonderful daughter. And by the way, her daughter sings lovely Christian songs and has several, you know, albums out of her Christian music. But Gail and Mike Rippling are wonderful Christian people, but Gail has written this fabulous book, a stunning expose. By the way, it also unmasked the men behind the new versions. Oh, there are men who actually are occultist, Satanist, and they are behind these new versions. One of the things I found out from Gail Ripplinger, and I checked it out because I wanted it corroborated, was that one of the people who worked on the New International Versions translation team was Dr. Virginia Mollenkott. She chose many of the words for the Old Testament of the NIV. Now, it just turns out that Miss Mollenkott is a flaming lesbian. She's a lesbian. And she has bragged about how she was able to put her lesbian ideas into the NIV's Old Testament. So if you want a lesbian Bible, well, get the NIV by all means. But if you want the Word of God, I recommend you stay with the King James Bible. A lot of people say to me, but wait, I don't like those old English words, thee and thou and thy. You know, friends, I'm not trying to defend those. There are probably good reasons why they're in there. They're more descriptive. And Gail Ripplinger talks about that subject. I'm not trying to defend old English. I'm just trying to say, you know, you don't cut off the head of a dog because you find a flea on its back. And that's not a flea anyway when you look at it, because actually there's reasons for those words, thee, thy, thou, and so forth. I feel much more comfortable having those words, which are accurate, by the way, accurately translated. You may not like a few of the old English words, but they don't bother me. They really don't. In fact, I remember Charlton Heston, the actor, you know, who played Moses in the movie The Ten Commandments. He said he would never read any Bible but the King James Bible because of the power of the words. Isn't that interesting? The power of the words. There is something powerful. There is something supernatural about the words in the King James Version. And I have yet to see a Bible that actually translated. Many times people say, well, this Bible is better because it took out the old English. But I find that it also took out entire sections, entire chapters sometime. And friends, you know who the author of confusion is. It's the devil. And he's confused people. People go to church now and the pastor says, take out your Bible and turn to, oh, you know, maybe 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. And he's reading along and everybody's trying to find it because maybe that entire passage is missing in their Bibles. They can't understand it. It's just total unholy confusion in churches today. Chaos. This New Age Bible versions is only $20. Now I want to tell you something. It's 690 pages. It's a huge book. And man, the documentation in it, you'll never trust these false versions of the Bible after you get Gail Ripplinger's book, The New Age Bible Versions. New Age Bible Versions. And by the way, you'll also find out how the movement of Satan and his disciples toward a one-world religion, a unified one-world religion, extinguishing all the true characteristics of Christianity, that's been planned. And that plan is closer to fulfillment because of all these false Bible versions. A lot of people say, you know, Tex, I like your ministry, but that sure is quaint. You still like the old King James Bible. Ha, ha, ha. Well, I'm going to stay old-fashioned a long time because I haven't seen anything that's accurate and perfect and error-free as is the King James Bible. But wait, I challenge you. I dare you. Get the book New Age Bible Versions and see for yourself if what I say isn't true. Now, here's how to get Gail Ripplinger's book. 690 pages. $20. Please add $4 shipping and handling. A total of $24 postpaid. Just write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road. We've been here over a decade now. Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. Of course, we call it the Republic of Texas here. But, you know, don't tell anybody that. Postman won't understand. It's just T-E-X or T-X or Texas. Power Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can order New Age Bible versions for $24 postpaid. Simply call us during the work week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30 Central Time. Our phone number, toll-free in the United States and Canada, is 1-800-234-9673. I'll tell you a little secret, that 9673, the last four digits, actually stands for Word, the Word of God. So it is 1-800-234-WORD, W-O-R-D, or 9673. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about some secrets, and we were discussing the fact that the Southern Baptists are now embracing climate change. Global warming. And they say they've been too timid in the past. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest in America of the Protestants. Actually, they don't call themselves Protestants anymore. They're not protesting anything. They have 16.3 million members. At least they brag that. And they've just signed a Southern Baptist Declaration on the Environment and Climate Change. And they're so worried about climate change. I wish they would worry about the Bible. I wish they would worry about Jesus Christ and the besmirching of his character today. But no, they're worried about pollution and Mother Earth and those things. And they're sort of going the way of all the other denominations today. Hey, here's a gentleman who wrote to me. He said, "Dear Tex, I tune into your show for news and information on the New World Order. I find most of your analysis is sound, but you need to reexamine your position on Israel." Mm-hmm. "I do believe that God is not pleased with anyone condemning Israel." Really? Tex, I don't want you to miss the rapture because you have criticized Israel. Robert signed this letter to me, and well, Robert, I don't know of anywhere in the Bible that says if you criticize Israel, you're going to miss the rapture. I can't find that anywhere. But you're not using one of those new versions of the Bible, are you? You must be. And I was thinking about this. You know, what if Robert's right? What if in criticizing Israel, I'm losing a blessing? I might even miss the rapture. And then I begin to think about it. Now, let's look at what Robert said. He said, "God is not pleased with anyone condemning Israel." And you know what that means? That means, evidently, that God is not was not pleased with Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Stephen, Paul. Why, even Jesus himself criticized Israel. Wow, God wasn't pleased with any of them. Isn't that something? I wonder what punishment they got for criticizing Israel. Now, either Robert is wrong or the Bible is wrong. What do you think, folks? Which one do you vote? Do you vote for Robert being wrong or the Bible being wrong? Do you vote for Robert's opinion or do you vote for Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Stephen, Paul, and so forth? I think I know how I'm going to cast my vote, but I'd like to hear from you. Hey, there's a man named Michael Sullivan, and I got a press release from the Gun Owners of America organization. Larry Pratt is the president of that. Larry Pratt does a good job there, and by the way, the other organizations have gotten liberal, compromised, but the Gun Owners of America staying right with it. And fighting for Second Amendment rights. I appreciate that. And they're warning people that Michael Sullivan, the current acting director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, is nothing more than a big liberal handgun control, take away your Second Amendment rights man. And yet, our conservative president, let me clear my throat on that one, George W. Bush, wants him to get the job on a permanent capacity. And guess who is agreeing with George Bush that Michael Sullivan needs to be head of the BATF, or the ATF, I think it's formally called, permanently? Well, our good friend, Senator Ted Kennedy. He said, quote, Michael Sullivan will be a strong leader at ATF, and I look forward to working with him on key issues of gun control. George, surely you didn't give us a gun controller as head of this take away the guns agency, did you? I'm afraid George W. Bush did. Oh, over in England, they've had a controversy for some years going. You know, it used to be that the king, the queen, the royalty of England were called the protectors of the faith. That's one of the official titles of the queen or king of England. Protector of the faith. And the Church of England is the official church. Now they allow, you know, you can be a Baptist, you can be about anything. You can be an atheist, they don't care, Buddhist, whatever. But the official church is the Church of England. And that goes all the way back to Henry. Remember Henry, King Henry the Eighth? Oh boy, we don't want to talk about him. But in any case, the Church of England has been the official church. Well, now, legislators of the House of Commons in England have introduced a bill, number 666 in the House of Commons, to disestablish the Church of England as the official Church of England. And Prince Charles says he agrees. Of course, nobody has ever accused Prince Charles of being either too Christian or too smart. But in any case, Prince Charles agrees. He says, I wish no longer to be called the protector of the faith, which would imply that I'm the protector of the Christian faith. Henceforth, I wish to be called protector of the faiths, plural. That way I will be protecting the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Hindus and the Christians, all of the faiths. I am no longer protector of the faith. I am protector of the faiths, plural. Now, I think it's interesting. And by the way, the Church of England has gotten so liberal, I don't know that it matters anymore. And I've talked with a number of our good friends from Great Britain. And listen, you're probably, I know many of you stay up and listen to this radio program. So you're listening to Power of Prophecy right now in the English Isles. In Ireland, we have our friends in Scotland and Wales and so forth in Great Britain, listening to Power of Prophecy, as well as throughout the British Commonwealth, you know, Canada, Australia, New Zealand. So this is of interest to you to know. But I have been told that probably more than half of the priests, they call them, the rectors, the vicars, the ministers of the Church of England are homosexual. So there's not much left of the old Church of England, okay? The Anglican Church. But what's left, they want to disestablish as the official Church of England so they can move into this Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist realm. They don't really want an official church anymore. You know, I was thinking about it. I really don't care about this issue very much, but it is a sign of the times. I don't care about it because I don't think the government needs to put its stamp or imprimatur on the church. Take Power of Prophecy. We're not even 501c3. We don't want to be a tax-approved, IRS tax-approved church. Can you imagine? Folks, anytime they give you anything, even a title, there's something they want back, allegiance. They want you to kiss their little shoes. And usually it's the under part, the soles. They want to control you, tell you what to do. Well, we just have one boss at Power Prophecy. That's all we've ever had here, Jesus Christ. We do what he tells us to do. Well, you know, that has got us into conflict with the government. Because if you're a government-approved 501c3 tax-exempt church, you can't do what God wants you to do. You got to do what the government tells you to do. So I think it might be a good idea for the Church of England to be disestablished as the official church. That's probably been holding them back. But in any case, isn't it interesting that the number for the bill came out just by chance, to be 666? Very interesting, isn't it? Well, okay, let's go to the next thing on the list here. The gentleman that tells me we need to get our guns. Boy, we need to put those dirty old mean congressmen and such in the sights of our guns. We need to go to Washington and march on Washington and hang them from the lamppost. It's time to have a revolution in America. You know, friends, sometimes you do get so upset, so fed up, so indignant about what's going on in Washington, D.C., that you want to do something like this. But, you know, friends, we're Christians. You know, there's an old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. I do believe that. I believe that the word of truth is greater than bullets. It's greater than tanks, armored personnel carriers. It's greater than nuclear bombs. More nations, more people have been affected by the word of God than all the military forces throughout history. And we have this powerful weapon, the Word of God. And it does not kill, it gives life. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. Of course, I believe in weapons, in guns, in terms of defending our families. There's nothing wrong with keeping a gun by your bedside or whatever. And if somebody breaks into your home at night, well, let them have it. They're taking a chance breaking into a good man or good woman's home or apartment, believe me. I have nothing against that. I have nothing against a nation defending itself with armaments. But I do have something against people, even corrupt people, even who, yes, are the enemies of America, the enemies of freedom, the enemies of Christianity. I have something against harming those people. For one thing, when you kill a person, you have just cut off their chance to ever find the truth. Think about that. Think about that. So no, I'm not for violence at all. Now, some people say, but nothing else has worked. Oh, really? Have we really tried everything else? How many people have you evangelized this week? How many people have you gone to their home and told them about these things? You say you're upset about 911. You know it was a horrible inside job. How many people have you told about it? I think we can do more on educating people. I believe we can do more, by the way, in the prayer area, in praying for people. You know, Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Sounds like a good idea to me. It might be that prayer might be more effective than guns. You say, I don't think so, Tex. Well, have you tried it? So my advice would be keep the guns. Keep them at home and use other means. And by the way, when people grow impatient with God, they often turn to their own means. In other words, to violence. Did you hear what I just said? When people grow impatient with God, it's not a good idea to grow impatient with God. Do not think for a moment that God does not know what is happening in America. Don't imagine it. He knows. He keeps track. And believe me, he knows that justice and equity have fallen in the streets. And there will be a payday for the evildoers. Make no mistake about it. You do not have to use violence. If violence is going to be used, believe me, God will do it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, Clinton, every year he has a global initiative. And all that really means is a bunch of rich, wealthy elitists of the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and all the other groups all meet together and decide our future every year. And this is underwritten by certain people, and I was looking at some of the names. Well, Hewlett-Packard gave a lot of money toward the Clinton Global Initiative meetings. Procter & Gamble did. Citibank. And then there's the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Microsoft. They seem to be in everything today. The State of the World Forum, the United Nations, population control programs. Everywhere you turn, Bill and Melinda Gates, he's one of the richest men in the world, and now he's given money to Clinton for their global initiative. Hey, have you heard about the Somark Corporation? What a name, Somark. Chipless RFID ink tattoo. They've demonstrated its effectiveness. Now they can give you a mark, and it's an invisible ink. Now, frankly, I do not think this is going to be the mark of the beast. I just believe it's going to be a control measure. Why isn't it the mark of the beast? Don't you understand? The devil is going to want to see a plain, visible mark. You know why? He has pride of ownership. He wants you to take a mark. And he wants everybody else to see that you belong to him. And so I believe that Revelation 13's mark, name, or number of the beast, it will be something very, very plain. And I am convinced that's why so many young people, especially today, don't see one thing wrong with a tattoo. In fact, they seem to love it. They seem to love it. Well, oh, let's go on. What else have we got here? Oh, there's so much. Oh, here's another Holocaust hoax thing. Oh, yeah, that's... here's a news item. I never listened to her radio show, but evidently Oprah Winfrey has a new radio show. She has a whole channel, I think, on the satellite radio. And she's been going through the book, A Course in Miracles. Sounds like a nice, holy Christian book, but watch out. In my book, Tex Mar's Book of New Age Cults and Religions, I have a whole section on this particular false Bible. There are false Bibles, not just versions, but entire Bibles. A Jewish woman in New York State named Dr. Helen Schuchman, she was a psychologist. And one day she said a spirit came to her. A spirit. And told her, take a pen, get out paper, and write this down. And you know, every night she gathered by her little desk there, by her bed, and she wrote a book. It came out entitled A Course in Miracles. She was asked, who was the spirit? Her answer, it said it was Jesus. So Jesus is now an it. It said it was Jesus. In the book it says that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. And that Jesus doesn't want anyone to worship him. He's not God. And that there is no evil in the world. All is just an illusion. And of course, naturally, you got to think positive and speak positive confessions. It all sounds so good. A Course in Miracles. Oprah Winfrey has bought into it. It said it was Jesus, said Dr. Schuchman. Well, it was the devil. Stay away from A Course in Miracles. You've been listening to a volume of secrets, and this is Power of Prophecy. It's been great being with you today, and my prayer is you'll tune in each week as, yes, me, Tex Mars, presents The Power of Prophecy.